Hey, this is the Rebel Room coming to you on a Monday. Hope you're listening. Hope you're having a good week or going to have a good week. And we got live action, folks. UNLV now 6-1, sole possession of second place in the Mountain West. First time in 12 years, the Rebels are 6-1 in league play. And if you were there that night in December when they lost at home to Pacific, you would think we were crazy. But we are not. The Rebels are playing good. Bryce Hamilton, 35 points in the most recent game. Marvelous Marvin Coleman playing like the best walk-on in the history of the program. And the Rebels, 6-1.
Is this for real? I mean, that's the most basic and most simple and I think the most pertinent question that I want to ask you at this point in the season. 6-1, just about at the midway point of the Mountain West conference season. Is this for real?
So you want me to play devil's advocate?
No, I'm curious because I'm buying in. Like I'll go first, I guess.
Do you like Marvin Coleman better than you like Jovan Mooring?
Jovan Mooring has a special place in my heart as a reporter, just because he carried those teams on and off the court during the lean years of Marvin Menzies when there wasn't much to write about, not much excitement about the program. Marvin Coleman is different because this team appears to be somewhat good now, and he is just a legitimately amazing story of someone who was a walk-on as a freshman, fought to get on the floor, earned a scholarship for his sophomore year, didn't play at the beginning of the year, just does everything the right way, become the leader of the team, the galvanizing force, the fans love him, and he's playing great basketball now too. So, I mean, it's just, he's come out of nowhere to just be this perfect, exactly what this team needed. And now they're winning and he's at the middle of it. He's the Mountain West Player of the Week. And I mean, how much further can this go? It feels like it's too good to be true. So that's why I ask, is this real or is this just some, you know, a hot streak that the team is on? Is Coleman going to come back to earth? Is the team going to come back to earth? They look legitimately good to me. Their offense is getting better as the season goes on. They're playing harder on defense. They're going to win a lot of Mountain West games this year. They're going to win 10, 11, 12 games probably.
So here's the deal. You asked if this is for real. So I guess we could kind of look at the opponents they've beaten, right? Mm-hmm. So they're 6-1 in league, had a great win at Fresno. You can't slice or dice it any other way. Even though Fresno's got a losing record overall, they play great D. It was the first road game. UNLV was coming off some losses, had to rally from behind. Coleman hit the big shot, right? But if you look at some of the teams they've beaten, right, New Mexico only played six guys. San Jose State, one of the worst two teams in the league, right? Wyoming, probably the other worst two teams in the league. So UNLV is 6-1, and you can only beat the teams on the schedule, but they haven't played San Diego State. They haven't played Reno, teams that were projected to be in the top four.
They beat Utah State without Kata, and that was during a stretch where Utah State, I think, lost three in a row, surprisingly. So you don't know what's going on there. So, yeah, I mean, you can go through and parse it out like that if you want to and say the wins are not super impressive, I guess, if you want to say look through the opposition.
Like, your best win is clearly the Utah State game, right? Defending league champs. They mm-hmm. were ranked at the time, I believe. Mm-hmm. But after that, what's their next best win?
Yeah, I'd have to look through it. New Mexico, I guess.
And New Mexico.
It just happened.
Yeah, now granted, New Mexico was a team that had double digit wins. I think they were like 14-4 coming in, but they were hit hard with some suspensions and injuries. I mean, they just not a shell of their former selves.
But I'm also factoring in the way that UNLV won. They didn't just, you know, eco to win over that New Mexico mm-hmm. team that was depleted. They played hard, they ground them down, and then in the second half they ran them off the floor and they made New Mexico quit in the game. In the final 6-7 minutes, New Mexico just gave up because they couldn't defend UNLV. So I take that into account too. That was a good win. UNLV played dominantly that night. They really, really beat that New Mexico team.
So to UNLV's credit, they're doing it with a primary three of Bryce Hamilton, Marvin Coleman, and Amari Hardy.
On offense, yes. Those are the three guys now.
And that really speaks volumes. Former walk-on, guy who couldn't get on the court last year, and Hardy, who, in my opinion, has been as bad this year as he's ever been in his 2 years at UNLV.
You could see the numbers, the shooting percentages have gone down as the season has gone on, but the fit has gotten better. Like, the way Hardy was playing earlier in the year, which I think the coaches kind of asked him to do, if he was still playing that way, where he's dribbling the ball and driving and he's doing everything, Bryce Hamilton would not have emerged the way that he has emerged. Marvin Coleman wouldn't have been able to take over the transition offense the way that he has. Like, Marvin, like, Amori Hardy has filled more of a traditional, like, the role that you see players play in this T.J. Otzelberger offense, like, where there's no dominant ball handler. And Marvin Coleman has become the quarterback. So Hardy's playing more off ball. That's opened things up for Coleman and Hamilton, and that's why you're seeing some of these guys emerge. So Hardy is not putting up the scoring numbers like he was earlier in the year, but maybe the fit is a little better.
That's fair. And then I think defensively, DeJong's been great in the middle. He's given him a true presence in the post. Blair has been not as great this year offensively as he was last year, but I think he's serving a purpose on the inside, from what I could tell.
He's another intangibles guy. It's just toughness and want to and trying hard and effort. So that's what Blair is giving you.
But you're essentially doing this with like 5 to 6 players.
Yep. And they got Tillman off the bench and Antonio just to give them a little bit of spacing. And he's making shots now, which helps the team tremendously. So that's probably their seven. Like, that's the seven you're going to win with on most nights.
And it's...
And they are winning on most nights. Like, you've went through the schedule, and maybe they haven't hit the hardest part of this schedule yet, but they found something that's working for them. I think it's pretty encouraging in the grand scheme, just if you're trying to assess Otzelberger and this first year. It's good. Like, this is the first time that I think people could be really excited about the UNLV program and
even serious where they're headed.
Yeah, it's... This is first year. At one point after that Pacific game, I was ready to write them off. Like, lost season. Let's look ahead to year two. Let's get some of these transfers in next year. And we're already looking to 2021. So just the way they've turned it around, you've got to be excited about that. And you're seeing fans even starting to come back to the Thomas and Mac a little bit.
Yeah, the crowd for New Mexico, probably the best. Maybe not the best number crowd because they count tickets sold. But the most people, I think, in the arena for a game.
And loud and engaged.
Yeah. And that's good, and you're 6-1, and you're showing some progress. And it's a team now that you want to see what they could do, right? They're getting better every week. You've got pieces that you're going to need moving forward, and they're developing, and it's fun to watch develop. And now they got a big week. There's no other way to slice or dice it. You got Reno at Reno in the only game that matters for some, and you got San Diego State at home in a kind of a marquee game on a Sunday afternoon. Two teams you're going to be the betting underdog for, right?
Probably. At least for San Diego State, they'll definitely be an underdog. Reno, probably 5 or 6 points.
Yeah. A good week would be 1-1.
Yeah, that would be a good week. That would be a really good week if you can win one of those games.
Which game would you rather win?
I would say that for me, for the long term, I would want to win this Reno game on the road because it sets up a matchup where UNLV is 7-1, playing the ninth game, the exact midway point of the Mountain West season. San Diego State, assuming they beat Wyoming, undefeated 9-0. So you're playing, that sets up the game on Sunday where you can come in, you're hosting the number 4 team in the country. Number one, then first place in the Mountain West is on the line. Like, if UNLV wins that game, they'll be in first place. And that would just be a huge, huge, to me, just even being able to have that game would be a huge accomplishment for this program, considering where they've been the last 5 years. To be able to say, we're halfway through the conference season, we're hosting the number 5 team in the country, and first place is on the line. Like, that would be huge. So you win that Reno game, and you set that up. And then if you lose to San Diego State, well, you lost to a great team.
And it's a Sunday afternoon. No NFL. There's no reasons why folks wouldn't be at Thomas and Mack.
I want to see what that looks like. I want to see what a truly competitive game at the against a rivalry team with high stakes at the Thomas and Mack Center. I want to see what that looks like in this day and age. Like, it's been years and years since they've had a game like that. So I want to see it. That's why I would choose. It would be the fan. I don't. A lot of fans would probably say we want to beat San Diego State because they're the better team and that, you know, whatever. But I would just want to get to that game. So I would choose the Reno game. If they can win that game, I would think that would be a really, really good week.
Yeah, and of course, just moving forward, the good play just helps so much with buying with the program, whether it's the fans that are apprehensive to come back and support them, to players he's out there trying to recruit to join the program. You go on a run like this, and you get guys who are tangibly better because of your coaching. That opens a lot of doors with recruits, and it's that simple. You say, listen, Bryce Hamilton was a solid 3-4-star guy, depending on the ranking. Before I got him, he was just 8-minute-a-game Bryce. Now he's 35-point-a-game Bryce, and it's that simple. I think that's got to be your pitch. He's making people better.
He is. When was the last time that you think UNLV got better from the beginning of a season to like the midpoint of the season, or to where they are now, like in January? When was the last time they were better in January than they were in November? Never under Menzies. Probably never under Rice.
The first year under Menzies was a disaster.
Yeah, they had no one, complete rebuild. Second year, they had McCoy and Justin, and they started hot, and they tailed off in Mountain West play.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is the same thing that usually happened with Dave Rice, you know, good non-conference, kind of tail off in Mountain West.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, some of those teams, I guess, with Lawn that went to the, you know, the tournament or won a tournament game. But yeah, it's been a decade.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're assessing the coaching of the team, T.J. Otzelberger, the fans, you have to have a pretty good approval rating right now.
Oh, I would say there's always going to be that guy out there who has something negative to say. But in terms of big picture, if you have some patience, this guy is showing you that he could coach.
So getting back to the initial question, is this for real? Like, are you ready to buy in and say, like, this is a team that can contend for the Mountain West? Because right now they're in second place. They've got like a 2-game lead on third place. It's them and San Diego State in terms of the standings. Or are you still holding out? You want to wait to see this 4-game stretch against the top teams, and you want to still reserve judgment?
I mean, I'm still going to reserve judgment, but it's a great spot to be in. They're going to have double-digit wins in the league for a second straight year. You got to remember, they got 2 with Reno, 2 with San Diego State. They got, you know, anytime you play on the road in this league, it's going to be tough no matter what gym you go into. But the thing is you got live action, and it's not as bad as we thought it would be.
I mean,
I'm not going to give them credit for beating Air Force, Wyoming, and a beat-up New Mexico team. I mean, you should win those games. The Utah State game, absolutely. You beat the defending league champs. That was a good win. Without question.
Are you ready to turn this team over to Marvin Coleman for like the next 2 years? Like, after, is he the guy, you think? Like, or is this like the UNLV version of Linsanity, where he's coming out of nowhere and it's gonna burn hot and then fizzle out? Or is, do you think he's legitimately this good? Because I thought it was sort of, it reached a fever pitch against San Jose State, you know, when he scored 17 points, 8 assists, they won that game. I sort of thought that was the Marvin Coleman peak.
Where does Jenkins fit in next year?
25 points a game at shooting guard.
Yeah, but at shooting guard. Probably. So where would Hardy go?
Shooting guard. Shooting guard.
You play
three guards. You play Coleman, Jenkins, and Hardy. You bring Antonio off the bench. Maybe bring Hamilton off the bench. Or you play Hamilton as like a small four. I don't know. Maybe Hardy comes off the bench. And Hamilton is your three. You'll have good, if Coleman's for real and he's in that mix, you've got a lot of good guards next year. So you have those four guys or five guys as your guard rotation, which is pretty good, it looks like.
I mean, we all know Marvin Coleman, great story. Covered the kid at Foothill High, Super 7 on our Super 7 team. His story is amazing. Guy who had no significant recruiting interest out of Foothill, walked on to hometown UNLV, earned a scholarship, and is now the league player of the week.
So you've seen him play a lot. Is that fair to say? Or you've seen him before you get to UNLV.
You know,
I know the story is amazing. This is an unbelievable story covering Marvin Coleman. Is his game for real? Like, is his game amazing?
That's the question is, what clicked in the last year for him to become this good? You know, maybe he's a guy who blossomed late, you know, or maybe the book and the reason he didn't get offers is true. And he's just playing really good right now. So I think it's probably important for his future in the program. Is he going to be A, the starting point guard the next 2.5 years, or is he B, going to be a bench player? Solid bench player. But I think we're going to find that out with how he plays the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most pressing or fascinating question over the, probably the last half of conference play will be Coleman. Like, is this for real, or is this something he can sustain? Now, he's not going to be a triple-double guy every night, obviously. He's not going to be 17-8 every night. But is he the starting point guard? Is he a general positive for you? Is he helping you win games? And is he the reason that you're winning? That's what he was for the first half of the year. Can he be that for the second half? And if he's for real, I see no reason why this team isn't for real.
I would agree. So this is the Rebel Room on LasVegasSun.com. It's Mike Grimal. I'm Ray Brewer. Usually we would talk a little football. And Coach Marcus Arroyo, did I say it right?
Arroyo, you got it.
Arroyo, yeah. Had a gigantic recruiting weekend. A kid named Brennan Scott out of Dallas, a 4-star linebacker who had visited SC in Kansas, picked UNLV, one of about 10 to 12 recruits. So the zero commitments is quickly filled up. So much, in fact, Grimala, that they've gone from having the worst recruiting class in the Mountain West to one of the best. And I guess next time we talk, we'll kind of take a look at that. The highlights are a tailback out of Indianapolis, a 3-star kid, had some MAC offers, a state champion, really well put together, a pass rusher from the junior college ranks, and Doug Brumfeld, the quarterback who had committed to the previous coaching staff, is still kind of on board. Judging from Twitter and some of those photos people are putting up, looks like the guy's a good recruiter. Everybody's having a good time. And it's got to be easy to sell UNLV. You got that great complex. You got Allegiant Stadium, right? You got a guy who was Oregon's offensive coordinator. Young, energetic, great city. And kids are committing left and right. Now, granted, a lot of kids have already signed. But the kids that are popping in love what they see.
Yeah, and I guess the good news for UNLV is that doesn't look like there's going to be a lag year for – the program, you know, where the coach has basically no recruiting class or takes him a year to get on up to speed. This is a pretty good class for the Mountain West. So, and it's not like UNLV was horrible last year. You know what? They finished 5-7. It's not like they have no talent to work with. It's not like they're a 2-win team perennially like they were, you know, at the beginning of the decade. So Arroyo's not coming into a total teardown. He's coming into a mediocre team, adding in his first recruiting class, which is by all accounts a really good class. They should be off and running next year.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a great tailback in Charles Williams.
Yeah.
You've got an experienced quarterback in Kenny Noblad. Don't know if he's going to be the guy, but you would assume Williams is. And you return a lot of pieces on that offensive line. Julio Garcia kind of leading the way, a guy who had a lot of starts last year. Defensively, Pharrell Hester's back. They got a chance.
Yeah, there's not going to be that year where you say, oh, you know, we fell behind, we're going to have to wait till next year. I guess the good thing about Arroyo hitting the ground quickly and securing that big, big recruiting weekend. So
yeah, and I guess, you know, we all worried that he was finishing his obligations to Oregon and that signing day came and went and nobody for UNLV. And why is he not putting any energy into the UNLV program? And he was quickly able to go identify a few kids offering them, get them here on the same weekend. And the one thing that I found pretty cool is there's kids committing like Saturday morning. Usually the commitments come at the end of the trip Sunday morning, right? Mm-hmm. Or when you get home Sunday night, you want to rehash the trip with your parents and your circle. Sunday morning, I mean, Saturday morning, 7 a.m., people are like, I'm here, Rebels, let's go. Let's make it happen, baby. I'm like, what are you doing at 7 a.m.?
They must be doing something to just blow away these kids in terms of the recruiting visit. If you're here for just a few hours and you're like, oh, man, I'm ready to commit right now.
And some of these kids have probably, you know, been on trips to other schools, and they look at the facility. The facility is amazing. right? You're getting to play at Allegiant Stadium. You've got this just phenomenal workout facility. It's Vegas. This young, energetic coach, you know. I just won a Rose Bowl. I was in the NFL.
It's good. It's
I got that shiny red cannon sitting there.
It's nice to have the optimism of just you're ready to go right away. Like Arroyo should have this team. Is it too early to say like you should be able to get that one extra win next year?
I mean, I don't see why not. There's so much parity in that league. Like for me, you should never lose to San Jose State, Wyoming. You know, there's just teams in the league you should never lose to.
Yeah, it's the problem is UNLV has usually been one of those teams from the perspective of other schools. So for UNLV clawing out of that to get to the top half of the league, they're not as far away as I thought they would be. When the initial recruiting class sort of dispersed, I kind of figured like, well, this is going to be a bridge year. Arroyo, you have to be impressed with the guys that he's bringing in. It looks like even some guys who are going to be like, if you're bringing in a 4-star linebacker, I would expect that kid to step right in and play right away. If not, you know, if he's not starting, he's at least going to get on the field and make an impact. If junior college kids are going to come in and play.
Yeah, linebacker's one of those places though where they got a few Jimmies and Joes, and you got to look at the program too. And now that you could play those 5 games and still redshirt, you could kind of test him out and see how he is. But, you know, that I tell you what, that Cal game is so important for UNLV. First game at Allegiant Stadium, people are going to be lining up to get in to see that thing, right? Cheaper tickets for the Rebels.
Might be the only game at Allegiant Stadium next year.
Could be the only game, right? You've got all this momentum. You've got a beatable Pac-10 team that can't score, Pac-12 team that can't score, right? You might be able to steal one of these wins because you got to remember the schedule next year is brutal.
The non-conference, if you can jump out with that and get to 1-0,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be huge because like that non-conference is going to be tough.
You're probably not going to beat ASU, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, for Mike, I'm Ray. This is the Rebel Room. We'll be back sooner than later.